This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Sweet Captivity, Book 1 of the Subversive Series. Written by Julia Sykes. Performed by Lucy Rivers and Joe Arden. Prologue. You don't want to do this. I choked out past the lump of terror that clogged my throat. I kept a wary eye on the wicked hunting knife Christian Moreno held naturally at his side, as though it were an innocuous extension of his arm, rather than a threat to my life. Let me go. He threw back his head and laughed, his perfect white teeth flashing as the booming sound assaulted my eardrums. My hands shook violently, causing the ropes that bound my arms behind me to chafe against my wrists. The burn of the rough fibers against my skin and cold bite of the metal chair beneath me were peripheral. My entire focus was centered on Moreno, and the way the gleam of the spare overhead light bulb made his dark eyes glint as sharply as the knife in his hand.
"No, Samantha,"
he corrected me calmly, his light Colombian accent making his deep voice almost lyrical when he spoke my name.
"You're never leaving this place. Not alive, at least. If you answer my questions, I might be inclined to mercy. Otherwise..."
He left the unspoken threat hanging in the air, the implication clear. I would experience agony before he finally disposed of me. "No, don't think like that." I gasped in several deep breaths so I could manage to speak again. "My friends will find me," I asserted, knowing Dex wouldn't leave me to die here. My best friend would do whatever it took to rescue me.
"If they do, they won't find more than was left of your body."
Ice crystallized in my veins. He took a step toward me, raising the knife. I tried to shrink away, but the unyielding metal chair behind my back kept me immobile. "You can't hurt me," I said desperately, twisting against my restraints. "If you kill me, my friends will hunt you down." His dazzling smile illuminated his darkly handsome features with cruel amusement.
"I want them to know what I've done. Your death will be a warning. We're going to send a little message to your friends."
He gestured behind him, and for the first time, my gaze darted away from the threat before me. A man loomed a few feet away, the light on his smartphone indicating that he was recording me. A wicked scar puckered his tanned cheek, deepening his fearsome scowl. His black gaze bored into me, his dark glare penetrating my soul. I shuddered and tore my eyes away, unable to bear looking at him. Moreno laughed again.
"What? You don't like my little brother?"
He cocked his head at me.
"Maybe I'll give you to him to play with after I'm finished with you. He has very unique tastes."
He reached for me, his long fingers trailing down my cheek. I cringed away, my stomach churning.
"I think Andres will like you. Such pale skin. It will mark up nicely."
He shook his head slightly, still smiling.
"But I'm getting ahead of myself. He can have you when I'm done. I'm going to extract my answers first."
The cool tip of the knife kissed my throat, and I choked on a scream as horror overwhelmed me. Chapter 1. One day earlier. I sat at my computer, my mind completely absorbed in the task before me. The fact that I was staring at the screen didn't register. I'd fallen into my work, as though I was inside the code, surrounded by information. I was in my element. I might not be physically kicking ass, but I was powerful in this technological world. Truthfully, I wasn't all that good at kicking ass. I transferred from tech analyst to field agent a few months ago, and I was coming to realize it hadn't been the best life choice. It had been a reactionary thing, a a desperate cry for attention. I thought that maybe if I put myself in the line of fire, Dex's protective instincts would kick in, and he'd finally realize what had been right in front of him for years. Me, hopelessly in love with him. Despite a very small voice in my mind telling me I shouldn't, I diverted from my mission and hacked into the webcam on Dex's computer. He was seated only a few desks away from me in the FBI field office, but I couldn't allow myself to be caught shooting furtive glances in his direction. This was much more discreet. Some people might classify my activity as stalking, but I'd never quite been able to wrap my mind around unspoken social boundaries. Besides, how else was I ever supposed to work up the courage to look the man I loved in the eye? Dex was frowning at something on his computer screen, deep in thought. With his chiseled features and piercing pale blue eyes, he was painfully perfect. Not to mention his blonde hair that made him appear like a fierce avenging angel when he was intent on protecting those closest to him. But he'd never seen me as more than a buddy. I wasn't even sure if he saw me as a woman at all. I really shouldn't have been surprised. With my skinny figure, shockingly orange hair, and decidedly tomboyish sense of style, my feminine side was all but invisible. Maybe if I'd put in more effort, he'd have noticed me. But seductress wasn't exactly my M.O., and I'd probably trip in high heels. I sighed. I was certainly the polar opposite of the brunette bombshell Dex had fallen for. Perfect, gorgeous, sensual Chloe Martin. No wonder he was smitten with her instead of me. Coolly familiar pain knifed through my chest at the thought of them together. Perfectly gorgeous and perfectly happy. Grimacing, I closed the connection to his webcam and threw myself back into my work.
What are you doing?
I recognized the masculine voice, but I still jolted at its proximity. I whirled in my office chair to face Jason Harper, the agent I'd been working for over the last few weeks. Working with, I internally corrected myself, even though it didn't feel that way. Jason tended to bark orders, and I tended to comply. We were supposed to be equals, even if he did have seniority as a field agent. But Jason had a commanding presence about him, and when his green eyes flashed, I jumped to obey.
Sam,
he prompted me in that stern tone that made my insides quiver with unease. I snapped to attention, my gaze fixing squarely on him rather than darting around the room in my familiar nervous pattern.
What are you doing?
He asked again, somewhat impatient. He peered behind me at my computer, squinting at the code scrolling across the screen. He'd have an easier time reading it if it were Cyrillic script, and Jason didn't know a word of Russian. Nothing, I said quickly, knowing he wouldn't approve of my activities. I mean, he wouldn't like the stalking thing, but he'd be more annoyed at my personal distraction from my work. Jason and I were supposed to be working a case together, off the books. We were tracking the shadowy Division 9C, a branch of a clandestine organization we knew little about. Well, we knew they were bad guys and they needed to be taken down. That was enough for me. Jason was the muscle on the ground, and I was the brains behind the operation, or the tech goddess. I'd take either title, really. Jason's dark brows rose up to his neatly styled black hair.
Nothing, he mimicked me in a reproving monotone. Do you want to try that again? The truth this time, Sam.
I shifted on my chair and cut my eyes away. My gaze landed on the water cooler, the worn navy carpet, the shiny spot where the fluorescent lights caught on Jason's highly polished leather shoes. Anywhere but meeting his steady stare. You don't want to know, I mumbled. Anyway, don't we need to get out and run surveillance on Moreno? I can fill you in on the other thing on the way. The other thing was our Division 9C investigation. Our official assignment with the FBI was hunting notorious drug lord Christian Moreno, who had moved his business into Chicago in recent months after withdrawing from New York. He'd been pushing the date rape drug, Bliss, and he was using it to start a human trafficking ring. Division 9C might be bad guys, but Moreno was his own special brand of evil. The toe of Jason's shoe tapped against the carpet in a condemning staccato rhythm, but he decided not to press me.
Fine, he allowed. Let's go. We can talk in the car.
I blew out a relieved breath. I hated having all that alpha male power focused on me. It was bad enough dealing with men on a normal basis, much less working alongside walking testosterone like Jason. He was nice, but that didn't mean he didn't intimidate the hell out of me. At least he kept a respectful distance while we walked across the field office and toward the elevator that would take us down to the parking garage. Once we were trapped inside the confines of the tiny metal box, I shifted my body into the corner to keep as much space between us as possible. It was a matter of habit. I wasn't afraid of Jason, but I never allowed anyone into my personal space if I could help it. I didn't do people. I much preferred to sit behind my computer screen where I was a safe distance from everyone on the web, not to mention completely anonymous. Now that I was a field agent, I had to actually interact with people, talk to them, look them in the eye. Moving into the field had been a stupid idea, reckless, and my involvement in this secret mission for Jason was even more reckless. But it was too late to go back now. As the FBI's best tech analyst, I had a special skill set that Jason needed. I might have transferred to field agent 6 months ago, but that didn't mean I'd forgotten all my hacking skills. There was no one else who could do this job for Jason, so I'd step up and be the hero. Heroine. Whichever. Was it sexist to apply gender to the term? Probably. I couldn't keep track of social norms. When the elevator finally came to a stop and the doors opened, Jason gestured for me to exit first. I knew he was trying to be a gentleman, but I'd have preferred to follow him. As it was, I had to scoot past him, my body almost making contact with his. He didn't seem to notice my discomfort. Or if he did, he was accustomed to it, and didn't really think much of what people would term Sam's odd behavior. Well, that was the nice term. Weirdo. Freak. The derogatory name-calling didn't faze me, not one bit.
Talk,
Jason ordered, when we were safely in the privacy of the car. I hadn't trusted anyone in the field office. Well, no one but Jason. If we were overheard discussing our secret operation, we could be betrayed. Dex wouldn't betray us. I knew the truth, but I wasn't willing to pull him into this. For one, I was still struggling with the personal sense of betrayal he'd inflicted when he'd fallen in love with Chloe instead of me. For another, Jason had insisted on keeping our op as under the radar as possible. This wasn't an official investigation. That meant limiting our manpower, woman power, person power. God, this sexism thing was hard.
Sam,
he said my name sharply, calling my attention back to him. I could tell he was getting impatient with my wayward thoughts. Right, I said quickly. Division 9C has their own hacker. They set up false identities for Natalie. There's an electronic footprint somewhere. I'm working on tracing it. And that will lead us to more information on the organization they represent. Their hacker is good, but I'm better. I just need a little more time.
And how do you know you're better?
Jason challenged. Because I'm me, I said coolly, utterly confident in my capabilities. You focus on protecting Natalie, and I'll focus on getting us a new lead. His hands tightened on the steering wheel, his knuckles going white. No doubt he was remembering the terrible things that had been done to Natalie, the woman he loved. He might have finally rescued her from the people who had tortured her and twisted her mind, but that didn't mean she was safe. The people who had so ruthlessly used her, the clandestine Division 9C and the organization they represented, were still out there. There might not be physical leads, but there had to be traces of them buried deep in the web somewhere. We finished driving to our destination in heavy silence. I wished I knew what to say to alleviate some of Jason's tension, but I didn't really know where to begin. So I twisted my hands in my lap and tried to calm my worrying thoughts. Per usual, they were firing in several directions at once, I had the Division 9C hacker to consider, Jason's feelings to fret over, and our current investigation into Christian Moreno. We pulled up outside a nondescript townhouse, positioning our sedan half a block back from our target. This field work was actually kind of boring a lot of the time. We settled in to wait and watch. I'd so much rather be behind my computer, but at least I wasn't having to interact with anyone but Jason, and he was content to focus on our investigation instead of idle chatter. We'd gotten a lead that this townhouse was being used by Christian Moreno and his Bliss trafficking. He seemed to have smaller distribution centers set up all over town. It would have been so much easier to raid a massive warehouse, but Moreno wasn't stupid enough to keep his product all in one place. Chicago police had arrested a man for dealing Bliss in this neighborhood 2 days ago, and he'd directed us to this townhouse as the place where he picked up his product. We could have raided the building, but we wanted to monitor the situation for a few days first. Taking out one small distribution center would be a win, but we might be able to find a larger network if we identified Moreno's people coming and going and tracked them from the premises. Overall, it was a pretty boring day. Watching people and taking notes wasn't all that interesting. By the time Jason dropped me off at my own townhome, I was eager to get back online and do something that was actually mentally stimulating. I dropped into my ergonomic chair and blew out a long sigh. It felt damn good to be back in front of my personal computer, away from people. I was so eager to get back to my coding that I didn't even bother to change out of my work clothes and into comfy sweats before turning on my computer. Unfortunately, a chat box popped up as soon as I logged on. Dex Scott wants to video chat. I frowned and hit the ignore button. I didn't have time to talk to Dex. I had to find the Division 9C hacker. Besides, I didn't want to talk to Dex. I was too fried, too raw to face him. He'd barely paid attention to me since I'd made the reckless decision to become a field agent. Sure, he still contacted me to play an online game from time to time, when he wasn't fucking Chloe. Otherwise, he barely interacted with me at all, especially not in the office, where he'd made it clear he didn't approve of my choice to transfer into the field. He was a damn good agent, far better than I would ever be. I'd longed to train with him when I transferred to field agent, to feel his huge body against mine when we sparred. But he'd refused to help train me. My cheeks heated, and my sex clenched at the thought of him training me. After hacking into his internet search history and tracking his sexual predilections for years, I knew my gentle giant of a friend harbored decidedly darker fantasies. Domination, bondage, discipline. I'd never thought I'd be interested in such depraved acts. Truthfully, before I met Dex, I hadn't thought much about sex at all. The girls in my dorm at college teased me for being an asexual, socially awkward geek. It hadn't bothered me. Really, not one bit. A part of my brain acknowledged the silent lie in my mind. I'd also tried to lie to myself about Dex for years, that he would come to care for me, that he'd finally realize I was hopelessly in love with him. I craved to be the object of his darker desires. The beeping emanating from my speakers became incessant. Dex Scott wants to chat. I turned off the chat app. Talking to him hurt too much. I needed space to avoid the pain. Shoving him from my mind, I threw myself back into my work, sinking into the deep web. I was so absorbed in my task that I didn't hear the lock click back or the soft sound of my front door rubbing across the carpet as it opened. I was jolted out of my work when the back of my neck tingled, an animal response to a lurking threat. A gloved hand clamped over my mouth, muffling my shocked gasp. A sharp sting penetrated my neck as the needle sank in. The world turned surreal as the drugs instantly cocooned me in soft, dark clouds, and I floated into nothingness. Chapter 2. The safety of my home had been shattered. Someone had drugged me, taken me. My memories of how I'd fallen into Christian Moreno's clutches were hazy, but there was no denying my terrifying new reality. I was in the hands of the vicious Colombian drug lord, and his knife was at my throat. Toxic fear engulfed me, freezing the scream that had escaped me for mere seconds. Christian stepped behind me so his brother's camera could get clearer footage of the horror I was enduring. His big fist tangled in my hair, jerking my head back, so I had no choice but to stare up into his cruel black eyes. The cold tip of the knife scraped upward from the center of my throat, grazing over my skin as it traced a path under my chin. I stopped breathing when the flat of the blade swiped across the line of my lips. A high whimper slipped through them, the resultant vibration threatening to make the knife pierce my skin. As it was, the tightly packed nerve endings on my lips sparked as the cool metal kissed them. The knife left my mouth, but I didn't have time to suck in a panting breath before the frigid blade returned to my throat.
"You are in my territory today, watching my people. One of my men followed you home. Who are you working for?"
he demanded. "I'm FBI," I said, my voice barely more than a whisper. With the knife at my throat, I could scarcely draw the breath I needed to speak. He frowned at me.
"A sniper made an attempt on my life a few days ago. The feds wouldn't assassinate me. Who are you really working for?"
The blade sliced a thin, stinging line across my throat. "I really am FBI," I said in a rush, the truth spilling from my lips. If he knew I was a federal agent, he wouldn't dare hurt me. "My name is Samantha Browning. I'm a tech analyst. Well, I was. I'm a field agent now. I'm not trying to kill you. We're investigating you. You have to know you're on our radar. Please, I swear I'm FBI." I was aware that I was babbling, but I couldn't stop pleading for my life. He considered me for a long, terrifying moment, weighing my fate.
"You're a tech analyst. That means you have access to all the evidence the feds have on me, if you're telling the truth about who you are."
"I am," I said quickly. "You can't hurt me. If you do, my friends will come after you."
"I think I'll give you to my brother after all," he mused. "You make sure you're telling the truth. I'd rather not mutilate you if you're going to be useful to me. Andres has more creative ways of breaking women. And I'll keep our little video to ourselves. If you are who you say you are, I'd rather your friends at the FBI didn't know I have you."
The knife point pressed against my cheek, just below my left eye. The pressure increased slightly, and I felt warmth bead on my skin. It slid down my cheek like a crimson tear. My eyes watered, and Christian's handsome face wavered above me.
"Maybe I'll give you a scar to match my brother's first," he mused.
A deep growl sounded a few feet in front of me, and I knew it came from Andres. I couldn't so much as glance in his direction. Christian's long fingers in my hair kept me immobile. A sharp grin lit his features with amusement.
"Apparently, he wants you mostly intact. Should I give him what he wants?"
The fearsome growl sounded again, a wordless warning. I shuddered, equally as frightened of the prospect of his desire to have me as I was of the knife piercing my cheek.
"Not a face, then," Christian said decisively. "But I think I'll let Andres see what he's getting to work with."
The knife left my face, but the blade instantly hooked beneath the top button of my shirt. It gave way easily as the sharp steel tore through thread. He continued to move the blade downward, trailing a sickening path between my breasts, over my navel, down to the top of my slacks. The fabric fell open with a flick of the knife, leaving me exposed in my white cotton bra. A plea for mercy locked in my throat. I couldn't speak, could barely breathe. My mind began to shut down, the adrenaline created by fear clouding my brain. Christian's fingers tightened in my hair, giving me a bite of pain.
"Stay with us, Samantha," he ordered smoothly.
The world sharpened around me with cruel clarity just before pain sliced into me. The tip of the knife grated a torturously slow line across my right collarbone. The cut was shallow, but blood welled up as the blade scraped bone. The scream that had been trapped inside me burst out as pain seared through me. He hooked the blade beneath the little strip of cotton at the middle of my bra, parting the fabric and exposing me. My scream choked off on a sob as terror mingled with humiliation.
"What do you think, hermanito?"
Christian asked with mild interest.
"Is she pretty enough for you? She's not a great beauty, but her nipples stand out nicely against her pale skin."
My skin turned frigid, my flesh pebbling as ice sank into my veins. I vaguely recognized that I was going into shock as my entire body began to shake violently.
"And her eyes are quite lovely,"
he continued in detached observation.
"So much fear there. You like when they're frightened, don't you, Andres?"
His low grunt in reply rolled around my mind, but my capacity for conscious thought had been ripped to shreds. The knife left my breast to slice through the ropes that bound my wrists behind me. I slumped forward, my watery muscles incapable of holding me upright. Strong arms closed around my shoulders, bracing me before I slid to the floor. I was dimly aware of my body being lifted. My head lolled back, and the last thing I saw before my mind short-circuited was Andre's fearsome, scarred face looming over me. Stinging pain on my chest yanked me back to awareness, and I bolted upright with a gasp. Panic blinded me, but firm hands gripped my upper arms, pressing me back down against something soft that cushioned my body. I was no longer sitting on the unyielding metal chair. I recognized the feel of a mattress beneath me, and my torso was pinned down against it by a strong, masculine hold. I squirmed and kicked, instinctively trying to fight my way free. I became aware of cool air against my breasts, and I realized I was still exposed. My heart hammered against my ribcage, and I doubled my efforts to fight off the man holding me down, my fingers clawing blindly. His hands easily encircled my wrists, trapping them at either side of my hips.
"Calm down, cosita, or I'll have to restrain you."
I recognized the soft Colombian accent. Moreno had me. He'd hurt me, stripped me. Oh, God. He'd given me to his terrifying brother, Andres. And now I was half naked and helpless in his steely hold. I couldn't stop thrashing, my muscles rippling with effort to break free. My stomach twisted, nausea rising as the full horror of my situation came down on me. A low sound of disapproval grated against my mind. His grip instantly shifted, tugging my arms over my head. He secured them there with one big hand. Something cool and supple encircled my right wrist. Metal jingled against metal as he buckled the cuff into place. I twisted my entire body, trying to angle myself so I could kick out at him. Desperation clawed at my insides, and all my training left my head as animal terror took hold. My awkward attempts to resist him made no effect, and he quickly secured my other wrist. Working in silence, he caught my left ankle, pulling it diagonally toward the bottom corner of the bed. My eyes finally focused, and I watched in helpless horror as he bound my legs to either side of the four-poster, spreading me wide. I still wore my slacks, but I felt terribly exposed and vulnerable. I thrashed against the restraints, but he pressed his big palm against my bare abdomen, pinning me down against the mattress and effectively ending my struggles. All I could do was jerk uselessly against the cuffs. Fear coursed through me. My fight-or-flight instincts had settled on flight, but there was nowhere for me to go. That didn't stop my body from twisting like a wild thing, panic beating against the inside of my chest. His dark eyes watched me with calm certainty as he simply waited. I wasn't sure how long it took for my muscles to burn with exertion, and I finally gave up, my limbs trembling where they were stretched above and below me, laying me out before him.
"Are you done?"
he asked coolly. "Fuck you," I seethed, my acid tongue the only weapon left to me. Keeping me pinned in place with one hand, his other swiftly came down and cracked across the outer swell of my breasts, one after the other in rapid succession. My sensitive flesh instantly began to burn, and I cried out. I couldn't escape the pain. I was trapped in place for the harsh censure. Tears leaked from the corners of my eyes, and he finally stopped.
"I won't tolerate insults," he said, still unnervingly calm. It almost would have been less disconcerting if he'd shouted. "You will speak to me with respect. Do you understand?"
"No." The refusal came out as a horrified moan.
"You will understand soon," he said, utterly confident. "You're frightened, but you will learn. For now I am warning you not to curse at me again. Tell me you'll obey."
The tears came faster, spilling down my temples and falling into my hair. His face shifted to a forbidding mask.
"Tell me."
I couldn't manage more than a fearful whimper, but I nodded shakily. I didn't want him to slap me again, and I recognized that there was nothing I could do to prevent him from doing it if he decided he wanted to. His countenance softened, his scar easing so it wasn't as pronounced.
"In the future, I will expect a verbal answer. You belong to me now, Samantha. Defiance will lead to punishment. Obedience will be rewarded. You choose whichever you want. I might seem like a harsh master, but I'm fair. Your behavior has consequences, either painful or pleasurable for you."
"Please," I forced out past the lump in my throat. "I can't. I don't. Don't." I began to pant out the fragmented words as my breathing turned shallower until I was gasping but not drawing in air. His hands bracketed my face, shockingly gentle.
"Breathe,"
he ordered, his accented voice low and soft, as though trying to soothe a frightened animal. I certainly felt like a panicked primal thing, trapped and terrified. His fingers threaded through my hair on either side of my head, massaging gently.
"Breathe with me," he cajoled.
He drew in a slow, deep breath, and then blew it out on a long exhale.
"Again,"
he commanded, and I vaguely recognized that I'd obeyed and matched his breathing, my lungs too desperate for oxygen to resist. I sucked in another shaky breath, mirroring him. We repeated the process several more times until I was able to breathe almost normally. I sank down into the mattress as my body went limp, all the fight going out of me as exhaustion sapped my mind.
"Better."
He nodded his approval. His gaze finally diverted from my face, and he reached for a damp cloth that he'd placed beside me on the bed.
"You're still bleeding," he told me. "I'm going to clean you up. This will sting a little. Stay still."
I couldn't have moved away even if I still possessed any willpower to do so. One of his hands remained bracketed at the side of my face, his thumb hooking beneath my jaw to hold me steady. The cool cloth gently touched my cheek, and I hissed in pain. Just as he'd warned me, the solution that soaked the cloth stung, and I knew it was more than water.
"Good girl,"
he said, the warm praise in his tone fucking with my addled mind. I only recognized the comfort in it, unable to process the twisted nature of how he was manipulating me. Anything was preferable to the unrelenting terror that had utterly sapped my will and smothered all thought of resistance. He continued his gentle ministrations, his dark eyes completely focused on his task as he cleaned the cut on my collarbone. Keening sounds eased up my throat, and he softly shushed me. When he finished, he sat back and considered me for a long moment, his black eyes searching mine. Instinct urged me to look away, to escape his probing gaze. The intensity with which he watched me made it impossible for me to break eye contact. I shuddered violently, unable to bear his scrutiny. His grip on my face shifted, and his calloused fingertips smoothed over the furrow in my brow.
"You're hurting," he remarked. "You didn't do anything to deserve this."
He reached for something else on the bed beside me, and I cringed, when my gaze fixed on it. A syringe. I didn't want to be unconscious again, helpless and unable to defend myself.
My brother gave me this in case I needed to subdue you, but it will take away your pain. I told you I am a fair master. I won't hurt you if you don't earn a punishment.
I don't want it, I managed to whisper.
I decide what's best for you from now on, he declared calmly.
Please, I begged uselessly as he carefully slid the needle into my arm.
Hush now, cosita, he murmured. You'll feel better when you wake up.
No, I slurred, the drugs making my tongue heavy within seconds. His long fingers smoothed over my hair, petting me as I fell into darkness. Chapter 3. A pleasant, warm weight pressed against my chest. I snuggled into it, finding comfort in the weighted blanket that helped calm my anxiety. I'd bought it 3 months ago, and I'd found that it helped soothe my racing thoughts enough so I could actually sleep through the night. I certainly felt rested, even if my mouth was too dry, like the time I'd binged on Smirnoff Ice and woken up with a wicked hangover. This time, the headache was mercifully absent. Although my eyes were still closed, my brow furrowed. I didn't remember drinking last night. What did I... My eyes snapped open and my body jerked bolt upright. Andres's corded arm fell from my chest, where it had been draped across me. I gasped and scrambled away from him, tumbling over the edge of the mattress to fall on my ass. Terror ripped through me as reality slammed back into place. I pushed up onto my feet and backed away from the bed, desperate to put distance between us. His dark gaze fixed on me, but he didn't so much as lift his head from the pillow. I expected him to come after me, to attack. But he simply watched me with mild curiosity, as though interested to see what I would do next. I became very aware of his eyes on me, and I realized cool air kissed every inch of my skin. I instinctively covered my breasts and sex before my mind fully processed the fact that I was completely naked. I remembered the needle sliding beneath my skin while I was bound to his bed, helpless. He drugged me, stripped me when I was unconscious. Then he'd spooned me, and I'd cuddled closer. Tears burned the corners of my eyes as panic overwhelmed me. I was naked with my captor. He'd touched me while I was drugged and unable to defend myself. I shuddered at the thought of him touching me. He could have done anything to me, and I wouldn't know. How could I have rested comfortably beside the monster for even a moment? I thought you were my blanket, I blurted out, needing to justify my actions to myself, but not meaning to speak the words aloud. One corner of his lips twitched upward. Excuse me? He asked, his accented voice colored with amusement. He propped up on one elbow, his gaze sharpening with interest that had become something more than idle curiosity. I took a hasty step back, clutching my hands tighter against my most vulnerable areas. Fear spiked, instinct driving me to keep as much space between us as possible while trying to cover myself. I have a weighted blanket at home. It helps with anxiety, I babbled, the words spilling out of me as panic addled my mind. Your arm was heavy. I thought it was my blanket. That's why I... Stop looking at me! I shouted the last, unable to bear the intensity of his black eyes studying my naked body.
I like looking at what's mine, he said, his voice deep and even, as though he wasn't saying something abhorrent.
I'm not yours, I countered, my voice high and thin.
His eyes darkened to flat black as his pupils dilated. He finally stood, the sheets falling from his powerful form. Every inch of him was sculpted, every muscle defined. He wore only sweatpants slung low on his hips, so I got a clear view of just how hulking and strong he was. More than a dozen raised, pale scars crisscrossed his torso and abs,
standing out against his tanned skin. They weren't as deep and puckered as the wicked furrow that had been carved into his cheek, but they were no less intimidating. How many times must he have fought and won to bear so many marks of violence on his skin? I shrank back, feeling small and horribly vulnerable. I might be a field agent, but I wasn't equipped for this. No one had trained me for this terrifying scenario, where I was naked and outmatched by at least 100 pounds of muscle, facing off against a man who was clearly a ruthless fighter, a man who'd easily wrestled me down and bound me to his bed, a man who had slapped my bare breasts and said I belonged to him. My flesh tingled with the memory of his harsh rebuke, and a light tremor raced over my skin, making it pebble.
"My brother was right,"
he said, still studying me intently.
"Your eyes are lovely when you're frightened, wide and blue, like a pretty doll."
He took a step toward me.
"Am I so terrifying, Sirenita?"
I dodged back, and my bare butt hit cool glass. I glanced behind me at the shock of cold, and my stomach instantly dropped at the view. The Chicago skyline stretched out before me, and the people dotting the sidewalk below were far too small. Familiar fear twisted my gut at the sensation of being too high up, adding a fresh layer of terror to my overloaded system. I tried to push away from the floor-to-ceiling window, the only thin barrier between me and a long fall to my death. I smacked into a wall of warm, hard muscle. Andres had closed the distance between us swiftly and soundlessly, trapping his prey with ruthless intent. And just like a small, cornered animal, I lashed out at the threat in an attempt to save myself. My training kicked in without thought, and I swung my fist at his granite jaw. The blow connected, sending pain radiating through my knuckles. He barely flinched. I didn't pause, intent on inflicting as much damage as possible. I brought my knee up, desperate to hit him where he was most vulnerable. He shifted, his rock-hard thigh blocking my knee before I could make contact. I had a split second to register his disapproving frown before my entire world tilted and spun. His big hands were on my naked body, taking me down to the plush carpet. My hips hit his thighs, and the air rushed from my chest as his palm pressed down between my shoulder blades, pushing my breasts against the floor to the point of pain. My fingernails scrabbled against the carpet, struggling for purchase as my flight response kicked in again. A high, feral sound left me when his hand left my back, only to catch my wrists. He encircled both with his long fingers, pinning my arms behind me so all I could do was thrash wildly, grasping and kicking my legs at nothing. I was trapped again, unable to fight, unable to flee. My heart fluttered against my ribcage and I gasped for air as panic clogged my throat. I heard the crack resound against the high ceiling, just before the shocking sting bloomed on my upper thigh. I shrieked and writhed, trying to escape the burn of his palm. A twin hit landed on my other leg, and my shocked cry turned to a furious scream. Impotent rage seared through my veins, alongside white-hot mortification. He was spanking me.
"Don't ever try that again," he admonished in even tones as he delivered another cruel blow, just beneath the lower curve of my ass. "You will not fight me." Another burning hit. "You belong to me. You will accept your place."
"Stop fucking saying that," I shouted, tears of frustration and pain pricking at the corners of my eyes.
"I get to say what I want. I get to do what I want."
Each statement was punctuated by a slap.
"You will learn to mind your tongue. You will learn to behave. You're mine, Cosita. Mine to play with, mine to punish. Just mine."
"No." The refusal came out on a low moan. My flesh was on fire. My mind flooded with fear and humiliation. My naked body was draped over my captor's lap, and he was making it clear that I didn't have a hope of fighting him. I didn't realize that I'd stopped thrashing, but a harsh sob tore from my chest. The blows stopped, and he smoothed his palm over my heated skin. It prickled with awareness, every nerve ending on fire.
"There,"
he said, his voice rich with satisfaction.
"Isn't that better? Don't try to hurt me again, Samantha."
He continued to stroke my aching ass, and I groaned in relief. The light caress helped soothe away some of the pain. Fresh shock tore through me when he touched two fingers against the seam of my sex.
"You're wet,"
he said in a low rumble.
"We are going to get along, Sirenita."
I stiffened in his hold. He was touching me. There. No one touched me there, not even me. Horror washed over me, smothering awareness of what he'd said. I couldn't focus, couldn't think. Fear clouded everything, seeping into my mind like dense fog. "Don't," I squeaked out, renewing my struggles. I became very aware of the hard rod pressing into my belly. His erection throbbed and jerked as I twisted on his lap. He hissed out a breath, and his hand tightened around my wrists, holding me securely in place.
"Stop grinding against me," he said tightly. "You want me to touch your little clit, greedy girl?" "You want me to touch your secret place again, don't you, dirty little girl?"
A long-forgotten phantom voice whispered across my mind. Terror and shame mingled in a sickening cocktail, making my stomach clench and my head spin. I couldn't think. I couldn't think about the voice. All thought blanked out, overtaken by pure, icy panic. The cold sank into my bones and I shuddered violently. Warmth enfolded me. Slowly, the ice ebbed away. I became aware of a low, lilting voice, saying words I couldn't comprehend. A few seconds later, I realized they were spoken in Spanish, but I still didn't understand more than a word or two dotted within the comforting litany.
"You're okay. Don't be afraid,"
he finally said in English, as he continued to smooth his big hands over my body, warming my frigid skin. I realized I was cradled in Andres's strong embrace, but I couldn't bring myself to try to fight my way free anymore. I felt wrung out, weak, small and helpless. Tears streamed down my face, and my brain whirred back to life. I was naked and crying into my tormentor's chest. The voice in my head was gone, wiped away, forgotten. All I knew was that my captor had tried to touch me sexually, and I'd freaked out. I didn't want to be raped.
"Let me go," I whispered brokenly.
"That's not going to happen,"
he told me in that same sure, calming tone.
"Stop touching me," I begged.
I couldn't bear the feel of his hands exploring my naked, vulnerable body, stroking me like he was soothing a frightened animal or a favorite pet.
"I will touch you whenever and however I want."
He paused and sighed.
"We will work on this later,"
he declared ominously, but he released me. I shoved up onto my feet, willing my shaking knees to support me as I put several feet of space between us. My eyes flicked to the closed door across from the bed, which I presumed was the way out.
"No,"
he said sternly, noticing the direction of my gaze.
"Don't try it, or I'll spank you again. Go wash away those tears."
He gestured at an open door to my right, which led into a bathroom. I became suddenly acutely aware that my basic needs hadn't been met for long hours, and I darted into the bathroom without any further thoughts of defiance. As I moved, I noticed the slickness between my thighs.
"You're wet. We are going to get along, Sirenita."
Mortification burned through me at the memory of Andres's words. I might not have considered myself a sexual person, but I wasn't completely naive. I knew that a woman got wet when she was aroused, so her body would be prepared to accept a man. It wasn't the first time I'd gotten wet, either. Watching Dex's BDSM porn had aroused me, even though I hadn't been brave enough to act on my desire. Whenever I'd gotten too turned on, I'd thrown myself into a particularly challenging task, usually involving hacking. Using the analytical side of my brain helped cool my animal physical responses. My stomach roiled. Had my obsession with becoming the object of Dex's darker needs twisted me so thoroughly? I'd just been spanked by an evil man who claimed to own me, who wanted to rape me. And I'd gotten wet, my body responding to his harsh dominance. My tears spilled faster as shame heated my cheeks, and I hastily finished my essential business so I could wash my hands and face. I pressed my palms against my flaming cheeks, turning the water colder to help chase away the heat of my humiliation. A few broken sobs heaved from my chest, but I gulped in air and forced myself to calm down. In the calm, a single imperative took over. Escape. I couldn't wait around for my friends to find me, for Dex to come to my rescue. I'm not the damsel in distress, I told myself. I'm the hero. Heroine. Whatever. I'm a badass FBI agent hacker goddess. I can get out of this. I couldn't take down Andres without a weapon, something he had made painfully clear. My bottom still ached and stung from his punishment, but that wasn't enough to deter me. He'd stripped me. He'd touched my sex as though he had every right. I refused to sit around and do nothing to defend myself when he clearly intended to rape me. So, I'd have to find a weapon. Or make one. I cast my eyes around the opulent bathroom, searching. There, hanging beneath one of the multiple shower heads, a razor. I quickly crossed the tile floor and retrieved it. I glanced at the closed bathroom door, knowing I didn't have long before Andres would start banging on it, possibly even breaking it down. I'd locked it behind me, but that wouldn't stop him. He'd already proven how strong he was, how relentless. Turning my attention back to my task, I tamped down my anxiety and applied pressure to the razor's plastic casing. After a few seconds, it snapped. I gripped the flat of one of the blades between my thumb and forefinger, careful of the wickedly sharp edge. If I bloodied my fingers, I wouldn't be able to hold on to my only weapon. I went to the bathroom door and turned back the lock, knowing he'd hear the metallic click in the bedroom. I didn't open the door. I needed him to come to me, and then I'd catch him by surprise. He'd seen a broken, frightened woman dart into the bathroom to hide from him. He wouldn't expect me to attack him again now. I'm not broken, and I am not frightened. Okay, maybe that last part was a lie. My hands trembled, and I focused on steadying the fingers that gripped my blade.
Samantha?
He asked, his rumbling voice emanating through the closed door.
Come out of there.
I made a little sniffling noise to encourage the illusion that I was crying, weakened. Not a difficult feat, considering my tears still mingled with the water droplets that wet my face.
Come out here. Now, cosita.
There was warning in the last, a clear threat that he'd come in to retrieve me if I didn't comply. Come on, then, I mentally urged him, my body vibrating with anticipation. A heavy sigh sounded through the door.
You will regret this, he said. You must learn to obey me, even if you're scared or upset. I'm giving you one last chance. Come,
he commanded firmly. Like he was speaking to a particularly difficult puppy he was trying to train. I straightened my spine. I wasn't going to be trained. I wasn't going to obey, and I certainly wasn't going to walk out into his scary strong arms and allow him to violate me. The door swung open, and I launched myself at him. I had the barest moment to register his dark eyes widening with surprise as I slashed, aiming for his throat. I'd never killed a man before, but I had to escape before something terrible happened to me. I tried to find a cold, calm place in my mind, but instead I attacked with a furious, desperate shriek. Maybe my roiling emotions made me sloppy, Maybe I just didn't have it in me to tear open a man's throat. Or maybe Andres was simply accustomed to people trying to kill him, and his instincts kicked in. He managed to dodge back, and my blade cut a long, shallow furrow into his chest. I paused, shocked at the sight of his blood welling up. I'd done that. I'd hurt him. I didn't feel any sense of heroic triumph. Instead, horror washed over me. Violence might be ingrained in him, but it turned out killing wasn't in my nature. In my moment of hesitation, he grabbed my wrist. He barely had to squeeze before the razor slipped from my fingers. I'd lost my only weapon, and now I was faced by a hulking, bleeding madman. Only, he didn't look mad. He looked disappointed. What kind of man faces an attempt on his life with such mild emotion? He could have attacked me. He could have killed me and eliminated the threat. But the laughable truth was, I wasn't a threat. Keeping his hold on my wrist, he took a slow step toward me. I dodged back as far as I could, watching him warily. I didn't understand his calm response. "I cut you," I blurted, trying to comprehend why he wasn't responding to my violence in kind.
"You did," he said coolly, completely unconcerned by the little rivulet of blood dripping down over his defined abs. "Are you really so eager for another spanking already? Did you enjoy it so much? I'll have to devise more clever punishments for you."
The ghost of a smile flickered over the corners of his lips.
"We are going to get along very well."
"Stop saying that," I forced out, my voice trembling. His calm was beyond unnerving. "I don't want you to spank me. I don't want you to touch me." He moved with lightning speed, and his body suddenly pressed against mine. My back bumped against the wall, and he captured both my wrists in his big hand again, pinning them above my head. He caged me in, his powerful body too close for me to defend myself. My breath caught in my throat, fear fluttering at the center of my chest.
"Liar," he said smoothly. "I won't tolerate that, either. You enjoyed your spanking."
His thigh wedged between mine, forcing my legs apart. He reached between us with his free hand and lightly slapped my sex. A strange, strangled sound left my chest. It felt weird, being spanked there. It stung, but the rebuke went deeper than physical discomfort. The punitive touch to my most secret, sensitive area was a casual demonstration of ownership. Something inside me clenched. A shadow of the toxic fear that had overtaken me the last time he touched my sex made me shudder. He stared down into my eyes, his black gaze penetrating my soul. He spanked my sex again. This time a wet sound accompanied the slap. I bucked in his hold, struggling to escape. My writhing caused his palm to rub against my bud of sensitive nerve endings. I gasped and shivered, my body alight with sensation that was utterly foreign to me. My toes tingled, and warmth curled low in my belly. But fear persisted, fogging my brain.
"What are you so afraid of, cosita?"
he asked, his voice low and silky smooth.
"The pain or the pleasure?"
"What?" I managed. "Pleasure? Nothing about what was happening was pleasurable in any way. My situation was horrifying, disgusting." He studied me for long, torturous seconds, his hot palm resting against my sex in an obvious proprietary gesture.
"Do you really not understand?"
he finally asked. His long fingers played through my sensitive folds, and I felt the slickness of my flesh under his touch. I pressed my lips together, refusing to contemplate what was happening to me.
Something like a growl rumbled from his chest, and his dark eyes burned into me. "How innocent are you, Samantha?"
I don't like it when you touch me there," I whispered the truth.
"There?"
he repeated.
"You mean your wet, little pussy?
He rotated his palm against me, and something strange crackled through my system, making me cry out. Stop! I moaned. I don't like this.
Liar.